I want to continue the series that I did at the Pentecost Sunday. It's the Holy Spirit Power, Part 2. It's Part 2. And the passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And this is Apostle Paul writing this. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And the church said, you know, Paul is saying to the Corinth church, what he's saying in this passage, I didn't come to this church to impress you. I didn't come to this church to impress you, to show you how great I am, to show how gifted I am, to show all my learning and knowledge. It is not me that you need to encounter. Instead, what Paul was saying is you need to encounter Holy Spirit power. We need to encounter Holy Spirit power. You know, I was speaking at a retreat a few weeks ago, and at this retreat, there was a woman that I prayed for 10 years ago. Okay, it was 10 years ago. At another retreat, and she was a runner, and she had issues with her knees, and she, 10 years ago, she asked me to pray for her for healing, and I prayed for her for healing. And I saw her again at this retreat, right? And she came up and shared that after she prayed for her, she was healed. Right? She was healed and she was able to run again. And this is what she said, you know, to me, Pastor Sam, you prayed for me and you healed me. Right? That's the word that she used. You healed me. And, you know, and I wasn't being mean or anything, but, you know, I just corrected her. No, not me, not even my prayer. God healed you, okay? God healed you. And I believe she knew that, but when she said that, I just needed to correct her. No, not me. I have no healing power. God healed you. And I was thinking about that, and what I realized, it took a long time. It took a lot of growing up personally, a lot of connection with the Lord, a lot of struggle with the Lord. But it took a while. But in this season of my life, I can honestly say now, I have no desire to show how great I am. I have no desire. I have no desire to show how gifted I am. And I have no desire to show how smart I am, because I'm not that smart, you know. See, at this stage of my life, what I want to show is to you, to this world, what I want to show is how great God is. God is the one who heals. God is the one who delivers. God is the one who saves. You know, and so today I want to talk about how to position ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ, how to position ourselves for Holy Spirit power, God's power. And the first point is not about impressing people. Okay, if you fall into this trap, Holy Spirit power is not about impressing people, but if it becomes about impressing people or you're impressed by people, it's not Holy Spirit power. Because Apostle Paul here says, you know, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. And if you study the Bible and if you look at the book of Acts and if you read the epistles of Apostle Paul, you see that Paul had great teaching ability. He did. But he says, I didn't come with persuasive words or, you know, eloquence. He had great preaching ability. He would preach and Jews would come to the Lord. Gentiles would come to the Lord. He preached one time all night. Can you imagine? All night. And just one person fell asleep and fell off, you know, and died. And so he had to pray for them to come back to life, you know. And if you read the book of Acts, if you read his epistle, he had deep biblical insight. Read the book of Romans. You know, this is why Luther understands the theology of grace, because he studied the book of Romans, one of the epistles of Apostle Paul. He had tremendous leadership skill. He planted hundreds and hundreds of churches throughout the Roman Gentile world. And he was the leader of those churches. He had unshakable faith. He had unshakable courage. He understood spiritual gifts more than anyone. And God used Apostle Paul to heal. God used Apostle Paul to do great, great miracles, supernatural miracles. But when he came to the Corinthian church, you know, when Paul came to the Corinth church, he purposely became unimpressive. Right? He purposely became unimpressive. It says he came in weakness with great fear and trembling. His preaching wasn't persuasive. It wasn't that Apostle Paul was faking things or acting, but when he came to the Corinth church, there was this great desire, not me, but God. Not what I can do, but what God can do. See, to do that, he purposely did not stand out. He did not want to stand out. You see, I believe when Paul first came to the church, Corinth church, the church was not that impressed with Paul. Maybe even disappointed with Paul when they first met him. But this was the problem of the Corinth church. The Corinth church was very impressed with themselves. They were very impressed with people. That's why 1 Corinthians 12, in the context, it was talking about there was a lot of division in the church because they were so focused on people's gifting. They were so focused and impressed by other people's gifting and their own gifting. And they were so impressed with certain gifts, and they were dismissive of other gifts. They were very impressed with somebody who manifested certain gifts. They desired gifts that gave them platform to be seen by people, to be applauded by people, but they dismissed other gifts. You know? And so in the Corinthian church, some were saying, this is what they were saying, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body. And Paul rebukes the Corinthian church. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. What Paul teaches, everyone in the church is important. Everyone has a different gift. Every gift is important. Every member in the church is important. So they struggle with that. They were so impressed by certain gifts in the church members and dismissive of other gifts. Another problem that the Corinth church had was this. The church was divided. Well, you know why? They were so impressed by certain people. One group would say, I follow Paul. Another group in the church would say, I follow Apollos. Another group would say, I follow Cephas, Peter. And the church was divided. And Paul says they were divided because they were impressed by people's gifts. They were impressed by other people and themselves. And Paul says, in this passage, I don't want any part of this. I don't want any part of this. I really don't care if I impress you or not. Paul was rebuking the Corinth church. I don't want to focus on human wisdom. I don't care about image, the position, your accomplishment, human standard. I want to focus on God's power. Not what you can do, not what I can do, what God can do. That's what I want to focus on. If you're too impressed by people or you're too impressed by yourself, then you're not relying on God's power. You're too impressed with self. If your desire is to impress others, you see, you're going to fall into this trap when you serve the Lord and when you do ministry. If you are impressed by yourself or you're impressed by others, you're going to fall into this trap of pleasing people. You're going to fall into this trap fearing people's opinion. And the devil will use that to stop you. But the devil will also use, if you are impressed by people, okay, the door is wide open to your heart for the enemy to stop you. And how is the enemy going to stop you? This is going to happen, right, when you minister, when you serve. Okay? The enemy only needs one person not to like you. Okay? And you'll stop. You only need one encounter where you get criticized. And you'll stop. One incident where you look foolish and you will stop. Enemy will use that criticism, someone being disappointed in you, someone not liking you. I know it feels bad. I'm a human being. When somebody don't like me, it really feels bad. But if you are impressed by yourself, if you're impressed by others, the enemy will use that criticism, someone being disappointed in you, someone not liking you, to discourage you, to make you lose faith, to stop you. Paul encourages us not to look at self or other, but be impressed by God. Okay? Be impressed by God. He's saying, look at God. Look at our problem with sin, our problem with condemnation, shame, and guilt. Look at what God did for us. He forgave you. He redeems you. He cleanses you. He transforms you. Look at the problem with pain, rejection, neglect, abuse. God heals you. God restores you. God loves you. What about with spiritual attack? Well, God sets you free. He strengthens you. He helps you to overcome. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. What about our purpose in this broken world? Well, God gives you spiritual gifts. He has a calling for each one of you. He has a purpose and a destiny for each one of you. Okay. Number two, to hold the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two, Holy Spirit power is about transformation. Okay, say that to your neighbor. You know, people talk about the Pentecost, you know, the early church, the Pentecost, what happened at Pentecost. And many people focus on the manifestation. They focus on Holy Spirit coming upon the disciple with tongues of fire, and they spoke in tongues. They spoke in different languages. Okay? Manifestation, you know, I'm okay with it, but I don't want us as a church to focus on manifestation. What I want to focus is what happened after the manifestation. After the manifestation in the church, there was a great transformation. there was a great transformation. The new church loved one another. They devoted themselves to the Word of God. There was a hunger for the Word of God when, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. There was a hunger for prayer. When they prayed, even the earth shook. Instead of selfishness, there was generosity. The Bible said so that no one had need. They broke bread together, meaning they loved meeting together. It wasn't a hassle to break bread together daily, fellowship with one another. Why? Because when they came together, it was not draining. See, when disciples, with the power of the Holy Spirit, when we come together, we don't drain each other. Right? They encourage each other. They carried each other's burden. It helped them more. You know, they would come back from farming and all tired, taking care of the pigs and chicken, you know, from morning till night. They're tired. And they would come together and they got refreshed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. They loved their neighbors. Others saw the change in their life. And the Bible says daily people came to the Lord because of their testimony, because of the transformation, because they became a witness, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's transformation. That's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is that you shake a lot. That doesn't say that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no law. Law is about our human work, our human effort, human obedience. But he says, this transformed what God does, gives you more love. You're able to love more. There's more joy in your heart. There's more peace in your heart. That, there's no law. Why? Because it's something that God does. Not a human work, but something that God does. How do you know if a poor person is walking in the Holy Spirit? Is it through manifestation, you know, because they're shaking, there's holy laughter, or is it because they are able to speak in tongues? Some people relegate God's power to just manifestation. Falling and shaking, speaking in tongue, holy laughter, roaring like a lion. And again, yes, God can move any way that he wants. He is God. And I'm not afraid or offended by manifestation. But it's not manifestation as a Christian that we're seeking. We're seeking transformation. God is in the business of transforming lives. You know, when I was younger, I'm just going to confess, I prayed. God, when I pray for people, God, you know, give me this power so that they get slain. Right? I used to pray for that. That was a long time ago. And I remember I went to a meeting at Rutgers University. It was an Indian Christian fellowship. They had a handful of people, and I gave a message. And I went into ministry, and I put my hand on the first person, and that person fell to the ground. I go, oh. I didn't really know what to do. It was the first time. Okay. Then I went to the second person. I prayed and fell. That person fell. And I had my youth pastor there, so the youth pastor saw that, came, and went, if somebody fell, he could catch them. Because first two, they just fell. They just fell. And I didn't know what to do. Again, first time, I didn't know what I was doing. And then I pray. It was not that many people. I don't know, 15, 20 people there. And after I pray for them, they all were on the floor. They were all on the floor. And I really didn't know what to do. And so, but do I wait? you know, what do I say? They're on the floor. They're not getting up. Right? They're not getting up. So I said, okay, this is the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Just let him do whatever he's doing. Okay? Bye. And I left. I left. And then I got a call next day from the leader. A few days later, and they said after that, they started to pray together every day. And they made a commitment to pray every day together. And I was so happy because there was a transformation. And during that time, I would pray for people, and people would testify that they got set free, they got healed, the bitterness disappeared, they're able to forgive. And I saw transformation as there was a manifestation, but there was transformation, right? But I don't know what happened over time, over many years, right? So when I would minister, people just was focused on manifestation. You know, they want me to pray for them. Why? Because they just want to get slain and figure out to see what that feels like. Huh? And so over time, people just came up to me, Pastor Sam, slay me. That's kind of what their attitude. And then they would get up, and then they would go home. I was kind of getting tired of that. And I prayed this prayer, God, take this away from me. And he did. He took it away. Because that's not what I wanted. Fall. Then they get up, they go home, no transformation. They just want to fall. Right? I mean, drugs could do that, right? Different kind of gas could do that, make you fall. But God is more powerful. He's in the business of transforming lives. Right? And how do you know you've been hit by the power of the Holy Spirit? You know? And so, you know, and that's my desire. Yeah? I went to a retreat, and I prayed for somebody, and this person was falling. So I'm holding this up, praying, it's like I'm holding up this weight, and I got a chair and just sat this person down. Because, again, I'm not that impressed by manifestation anymore. I'm not that impressed by manifestation. I remember that which I hope nobody saw it. I hope nobody saw it. Because then people are going to line up and want prayer because they want the manifestation. But in Catalyst, that's not, manifestation is not the Holy Spirit power. Okay? If the manifestation transforms you, praise God. God's in the business of transforming. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do you know the Holy Spirit's working in you? You love more. There's more joy. There's more peace, more patience, more kindness. When God truly touches you with his power, if you're just jerking and shaking, but there's no conviction, no truth, no transformation, and I'm going to say this, then that's not the Holy Spirit. Why? Because to me, our God is so powerful. Right? And when he touches you, you will change. Okay? I will change. Now, you know, some charismatic focus on the manifestation of the gift of tongue as being baptized by the Holy Spirit. You know, Assembly of God churches believe that. A lot of the charismatic church believe that. But how do you know the gift of tongue is fake or real? How do you know it's fake or real? You look at their life. Look at their life. they're speaking in tongues and loud, and you know, and then you look at their life, they're bitter, they're insecure, they're selfish, they gossip a lot, they complain a lot, there's no change. Then in the way I see it, that gift of tongue is not the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit if there's no transformation. That tongue is from the flesh and not from God. When God touches you, yes, there's different manifestation though. There is. You know, some people just focus on falling, you know, being slain in the Holy Spirit. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit touches you, some people cry. That's also a manifestation. Some people, there's a joy. Some people, yes, shake. Some people laugh. But some people, there's this quiet conviction. For me, like when the Holy Spirit touches me, especially when he delivers me from something, and I shared this before, I'm giving you one of the things, you know, so like, but I don't want you, okay, like I sneeze, achoo, right? How do I know the Holy Spirit worked in me? Because I feel something lift when I sneeze. I feel something cleanse in my heart. I feel like more lighter. But that doesn't mean every time I sneeze, okay, that I'm being delivered. I just want you to know that. But there are times in worship, right, when somebody's praying for me, when I'm drawing near to God, I go, and I just feel things lift. And that's the word, and there's a transformation in my heart. You know, and so, but those, you know, and this is those who have, if you're focused on impressing, you know, the gifting, the impressing other people, you're impressed by yourself, you won't get the power of the Holy Spirit is not going to move in you. But if you have a soft heart and your heart is open to the Holy Spirit and you hunger for the Holy Spirit, there will be more love. You will become more generous. There's greater joy. You'll walk in greater freedom. There will be more spiritual maturity. There are those who seek manifestation without transformation. This is not what God wants. This is not God, but fleshly. When God touches you, there is transformation. Amen? Number three, Holy Spirit power is about connection. Holy Spirit power is about connection. You know, in this East Coast culture, this culture value busyness, right? We value busyness. In the church, we falsely attribute busy person with someone who is spirit-filled. And we look at the gospel, Jesus was busy, but he didn't value busyness. Instead, when you look at Jesus in the gospel, he valued connection. He valued relationship. He valued intimacy. That's why he just picked 12. If he didn't value relationship, because you can't have a relationship with thousands of people. Even in this church, you know, over 100 people, it's very hard for me to connect with everyone. So what Jesus did, he connected with few so that few can minister to more. And disciple more. But that only works when there's connection and deep relationship. It wasn't just through teaching. Jesus ate with the disciple. Jesus traveled with the disciple. Jesus was with the disciple all the time, teaching them, yes, but also building relationship with them. I know that, you know, when they were having dinner, drinking wine, because that's what they all did back then, you know, drinking wine, and they're laughing and telling jokes and talking about that day and, you know, encouraging each other. They built relationship together because that's what Jesus valued. See, Jesus valued his relationship with his Father. Jesus valued relationship with his disciple. Jesus valued relationship with the community. And John chapter 15 talks about you being the branch and God is the vine. And this is what it says, John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you're connected to me, if you have a relationship with me, if we have an intimate relationship, if you remain in me and I in you, what does it say? You will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. This is so biblical. The Bible makes it so simple to have the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are connected to God, you will bear fruit. You will have the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're not, you can do nothing. The main condition to bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, is connection. The vine and the branch connection, what is that called? It's called the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what Jesus was talking about. See, Mark chapter 9, and I taught this before, but this is important that we understand this. See, the disciples tried to deliver this boy who was demon-possessed, and they couldn't, right? They couldn't do it. And Jesus comes along, prays for the boy, and immediately the boy is set free. So the disciple asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Okay? Why couldn't we deliver the boy? Okay? Why could we not drive it out, drive the demons out? And the Lord says this to the disciples, this kind cannot be driven out except by prayer and fasting. And when Jesus said this, there was a disconnect from what the disciples thought and what Jesus was really saying. When the disciple heard Jesus say this kind only could be delivered or come out through prayer and fasting, the disciples heard, oh, how many hours? How many days do I need to fast? To them, it was a call to perform. It was a call to try harder. It was a call to spend more time. It was a call to self-effort. It was a call to impress people because that's why what the Pharisee did to prayer and fasting. They would pray in the street corner. Why? Why is the street corner? Well, there's a lot of people walking by and people, what a holy guy. Okay, look at that holy guy praying. You know, praying so fervently. And they would go, oh, they will pray in the street corner so fervently to impress people. But Jesus, to him, when he said prayer and fasting, it wasn't a call to perform. Okay? It was a call to connect. He was telling his disciple, you will have power when you connect with God. That's what fasting and prayer is. It was a call. They didn't understand it. Okay, you want to have God's power to deliver others? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love him the best you can. And the Holy Spirit power will move in you. See, if you love God, Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23 will happen. God's power will be manifested in you. And you will bear fruits of the Holy Spirit. There will be more love. There will be more joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But in that exact chapter, Galatians chapter 5, but if you're impressed with self, if you're impressed by people. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 says, you will not bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but you will bear the fruit of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. There's no power of the Holy Spirit if you're impressed by what you can do. As a church, let's not be impressed by ourselves. Don't be impressed by your senior pastor. Don't be impressed by others. What that call is, let's let go of pride. It's the pride that makes you want to impress, make you stand out, make other people applaud you. Let go of our flesh. Let's let go of the lies. Let's let go of this desire for recognition. Let go of the selfishness, the self-righteousness, the self-effort. If you want the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't desire worldly riches, worldly fame, and worldly pleasures. See, if you want the power of the Holy Spirit, what God offers us is transformation. But for transformation, you have to want and desire connection. And what is connection? Luke 10:27 says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind. And God's people said,